And now we are going to discuss Parshas Parah. Again, I think we often talk about the Parah Aduma when it comes to Chukas, which is in a little bit on in Sefer Bamidbar. But when we read Parshas Parah here before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it gives us the opportunity to discuss Parshas Parah within the context of the days that we are in right now. Whenever a parsha is read near a holiday, near a specific time of year, it's always meant to shed light on the time period you find yourself in. So when we're going to learn Parshas Parah sort of out of context in its time in which it is read this Shabbos, we are going to see it not as out of context, but in a different context, and perhaps see the messages of the Parah Aduma differently in the light of coming off of Purim, going into Pesach, than we may have when we get to Sefer Bamidbar. So let's look in the next source on the source sheet is the Kedushas Levi on Parshas Parah. Again, it is one long essay, but not to be scared. It's not too hard to understand and not going to be too intimidating. So Parshas Parah begins, Zot Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Limor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael Ve'ekhu Elecha Parah Aduma. This is the rule of the Torah that God commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and they should take for you a red heifer. Leva'er Mashakatov Amarti Echakama V'hi Rechoka Mimeni. To explain this idea of the Parah Aduma, we are going to first explain the words of Shlomo HaMelech in which he described the Parah Aduma. And he said, Echakamehi, I will gain knowledge, I will become even more wise, v'hi rechoka mimeni. And yet, the mitzvah of Parah Aduma will still be far off for me. It will still be too far for me. Shlomo HaMelech, we know, who was known as the wisest of all men, said that the idea, the real meaning behind the Parah Aduma was too far for him to understand. V'hu be'emet yesh la ta'am, and there is a reason for this. Kimavo arbi yisodo sh'Rabbi Moshe hadarshan, tavo imo v'techaper al bina, ayin sham. The truth is that this mitzvah does have a reason that we are told. Rabbi Moshe hadarshan, which is quoted by the Rashi on Sefer Bamidbar, tells us, let the mother, the red heifer, come forward and atone for her son, the golden calf. Tavo imo, imo being the mother, which is the red heifer, v'techaper al bina, and she should bring atonement for the golden calf. So again, the idea is that the Parah Aduma in some way comes to atone for the Chet HaEgel. And he said, and we can also connect to this idea of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, where he said that the mother should come and atone for the son. We can attach to this Divrei HaPaitan, the words of the poet, Asher Dvarav Hima B'Ruach HaKodesh, that his words are written through Ruach HaKodesh. Sha'amar, L'taher Tmeim, L'tamei Tehorim, B'Omer Kadosh. So in the words of the liturgy for the Shabbos of Parshas Parah, it is written, "Letaher hatmeim," that the Parah Aduma, through its process, makes tahor those that were impure, makes pure those that were impure, "Letamei hateorim," but it makes impure those that were previously pure. So again, the Parah Aduma purifies those that were previously impure, but the one who performs the process with the Parah Aduma, if he was Tahor before, now becomes Tameh. Be'omer Kadosh, and he ends off with saying, and you say, holy. V'koza tzarich be'or, and all of this needs explanation. Ma'inyan omro be'omer Kadosh. What is he talking about when he says, be'omro Kadosh, when they declare it holy? What is this talking about? V'yitzba'er inyan para. So he says, for this we have to understand the underlying idea of the para, of the red heifer. It is well known, the words of Eliyahu Hanavi. The words of Eliyahu Hanavi are, you, Hashem, are one, but not in the numerical sense. You are exalted above all exalted, more concealed above all which is concealed. No thought can grasp you whatsoever. Vidvaravzal ha'umdim berumo shel olam. And these words, which are extremely high, yesod kol ha'yesodot ve'amud ha'uvdim, La'ha'ir v'la'ha'ir et leiv b'nei Adam lidrosh et Hashem yisparach b'chol libo v'nefsho. These words of Eliyahu, in which he tells us that Hashem is beyond all comprehension. Hashem is exalted above all else that is exalted. Hashem is more hidden above anything else that is hidden. These are words that stand up on high, and these are the basis of all bases, the amud ha'ovdim. These are what all those who serve Hashem stand on. And these words come to ignite, come to illuminate the hearts of Bnei Adam to seek after Hashem with all of their hearts. What does this mean? How do these words inform us that Hashem is more exalted than all, more concealed than all, that we cannot understand Hashem at all? Ha'alef, al hit ga'alot elohuto yisparach, al kol pratei ha'nivraim ha'yitzurim ve'ha ne'asim. V'kol ma sheyesh ba'olam ha'kol mimenu. Al hitgalut elohuto, on the revelation of his godliness, yisparach, al kol pratei, and all the details of all those that are created, all those that are formed, and all those things that are made, the akol ma sheyesh ba'olam hakol mimenu. Everything in this world, everything that was formed and created and planted, everything is from Hashem. Ve'ein kol nimtza miba'al ado. Nothing would exist without him. Ve'bilto in shum kiyum mitzios la'achad mehanivraim. And without him, nothing in this world would continue to exist. As we say that Hashem gives life to everything. And from this we know that there is a Ribon Olamin, there is a leader, a God of this world, HaMechadesh B'chol Eit, that at every moment is renewing, V'notin Koach L'chyot, and is giving the strength to keep alive, L'chol B'riah Sheba Olam, to every creation that is in the world. U'letzadza Nikra Ata, and therefore we call Hashem Ata, Kimo Shebe'arnu B'lashon Nochach, because this is a language of understanding. That this we are speaking to Hashem, that we recognize that everything in this world comes from Him. Ki'ilu hu musag, but this gives the impression that we understand Hashem. Ve'inyan ha'asaga al pratei ha'nimtza'im k'nichtav l'mala. Based on the idea that we seem to perceive His creations in this world. So he says, when do we use the word ata, when we are addressing Hashem? When then there is some aspect that we feel like we comprehend, we perceive Hashem in this world. So, for example, when we make brachos, where there is an acute awareness of Hashem's presence, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihiyeh B'dvaro. When we make a bracha recognizing that Hashem created everything, there is a language used of Ata, which is a language of Nochachiyut, where we are opposite Hashem, where we are recognizing Hashem. And in those situations, we use the language of Ata, that we perceive that everything in this world is directly from Hashem. That without Hashem, there is nothing that is going to continue to exist. There is no life without Hashem. Achin, however, kasher yitzbonin ha'adam, when a person really thinks, yida ha'ich gadla v'atzma me'od, they will understand that God is completely incomprehensible. And we will realize that Hashem is so far beyond what we can ever comprehend. That Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu that no person can see me and live. Only that we should understand. This is so clear and apparent and great to us. Shekol ma shenitavu kol ha'olamot hakol mimenu v'hu kaimam. We understand that all life comes from Hashem, that everything is from Him, and He keeps everything existing. V'erach b'chinot yisparach in shum tfisat machshava. But we also understand that when it comes to truly understanding God, human beings have no chance. Human beings cannot possibly fathom God in His entirety. Ka'amor delit machshava tefisa b'chaklal. As it said, that there, when it comes to Hashem, there is no understanding at all. Now what he's saying is there's two ways that we can approach our understanding of God, and they must come together. One is that we can perceive Hashem's presence in the world in so many ways, that we must And we can understand that without Hashem, there is nothing that will continue to exist in this world. And then this world could never continue to be without Hashem continuously sustaining it. However, once one truly understands that there is a God that runs this entire world, that causes everything to be able to continue, one also begins to understand that the real level of comprehending God is impossible to man. That we can never truly perceive Hashem's greatness in the world, that it is so beyond unfathomable that we cannot even begin to understand. Think of it this way. I can make a bracha on one food, on another food, on one apple, let's say. But to understand that God not only created this apple, but the entire tree, the entire orchard, every orchard in every place in the entire world, even places that human beings don't know about, even that becomes unfathomable. How many millions and billions of apples that Hashem created each and every one and sustained each and every living organism at every single time? How many trillions of cells are in a human body, in one human? And how many billions of people are there in the world? The comprehension of Hashem on a very minute level is possible. But when it comes to truly understanding Hashem's magnitude, Hashem's greatness, we cannot even begin to comprehend. There's no way that we can even begin to engage in understanding Hashem's greatness. This is when we use the word who, he, ki hu, he nistar. Because when we say he, there is a complete hiddenness about this. Ki kin derech ha'olam shemedabrim b'nochach ata. When you address someone and you say you, moreshu meisigoto, this shows that you are able to properly perceive them. V'kasher yedaber b'nistar yedaber hu, moreshu gadol misichlo ve'eno misigo. When you address someone in third person as he, this does not connote any sort of understanding or perception of the person on the other side. When you say you, you feel like you see them. You are addressing them directly. When it's he, there is a level of removal that is probably more befitting of our relationship with Hashem, because we are not even able to begin to comprehend or believe we are speaking in a way that shows that we perceive Hashem completely. And this is the distinction between speaking to Hashem in second person or in third person. And it explains in the work, the book of Shefatal, and in the rest of the Kabbalistic Sfarim. This is why in all of the works of Kabbalah, where it talks about the Ein Sof, the Sphiros, this is beyond my pay grade, it uses the language of who, that it describes Hashem as he, being removed, referring to Hashem in third person. He says that this is a very deep idea that we can't even begin to comprehend Hashem. The essence of our avoda is that we should be able to understand that Hashem is completely beyond our comprehension. Rak anu yodin sheyish matzoi hamatzi kol hamitziot, v'hu hamechaya v'hamehava et kol hanimtzaim b'kocho hagadol mitzad midat tova. All that we can understand is that Hashem created the entire world, and in his divine kindness, he continues to allow the world to exist. He continues to sustain the world. And then we're just going to skip from Vize Bechinas Rabbi Akiva until Kimivoar. Just, it's a few examples that I think are a little confusing in the context of our discussion of Para Aduma. So if we skip down to Vizehu Sod HaPara. So now we are bringing this all back. So again, he has established the idea that there are sort of two levels of comprehension of Hashem. There is the one level where we begin to think that we can even come close to comprehending an aspect of Hashem's greatness. And then on the other hand, there is this complete understanding that it is impossible for us to possibly understand Hashem at all. That we can perceive Hashem in very small ways in all of his creations. But we are unable to truly understand Hashem as who he is, as a being or non-being, because the magnitude of what Hashem is just so far beyond our comprehension. V'zehu sod ha'para shehamazeh v'mezin alav tahor v'nanogeya tameh. So he says, based on this understanding that there are these two levels of perception of Hashem, we can understand the idea why the person who does the purification process becomes tameh, while the one who is sprinkled upon becomes tahor. Inyanohu al derech hamivoar. Its explanation is as such: the inyan mazeh v'nizeh hakolhu milamala v'lamata. When it comes to the one doing the sprinkling and the one being sprinkled upon, everything is from above and from below. V'lazeh tahor lefi she'avodaso al yedei nistar. And therefore, the person who is sprinkled upon becomes tahor, becomes purified, lefisha avodato al yedei nistar, because he accepts the fact that his avoda right now is hidden, she'eino masigo k'nechtav l'mala, that he will not understand it. Aval hanogeya, but the one who is doing the sprinkling, ratza lomar she'midameh b'da'ato shehu tofes ezo davar elokim v'yesh lo hasaga. It's possible for him to think that he understands what's going on here. Vizehu negiya, and this is a fault, as tame, and therefore he becomes tame. She'az hu kutzitz k'nechtav l'mala v'kede'uvda de'acher. And there, because he becomes defiled, because this can lead one to heresy. What is this talking about here? I want to draw the comparison between the Parah Aduma and the idea of mikvah. In some of my time here in my community, I serve as a mikvah attendant. So what happens? The woman comes and prepares and comes to Tovel in the mikvah, and she goes down into this structure that we have created based on Hashem's specifications, that Hashem tells us that if she Tovels in this exactly built body of water, then she will go from a status of Tameh to Tahor. Do we understand it at all? Not at all. When a woman goes into the mikvah, she must recognize for herself that there will not be any physical change. Aside from the fact that she will be wet, she will physically be no different when she enters into the mikvah than when she emerges from the mikvah. But she goes in with this understanding that there is a process going on here that is beyond her comprehension, that is beyond our physical ability to understand. That it is something that is completely within the spiritual realm and imperceivable to us as human beings. However, me as the mikvah attendant, my job is to make sure that she completely immerses in the body of water. She will get into the water and she will dunk, and then I will announce kosher. And she'll do it again, and I'll announce kosher, and so on and so forth until the end of her number of dunks. It is possible for me to think that I have some sort of understanding of the mechanism of the mikvah, that I feel like I have the ability to declare that she is now kosher, that for some reason, my declaring kosher makes a change in the reality. And therefore, when the woman who is immersing and I, as the attendant, are coming into the same space, we are coming with slightly different understandings of the process. She is coming with an understanding that she completely does not understand. I, on the other hand, may possibly be led to believe that I have some understanding of the process, that as soon as the final hair goes under the water, she is now seen to be Tahor. And I may mistakenly think that I now understand the mechanism of the process. This is exactly comparable to the idea of the Parah Aduma. The one who is there to be purified recognizes that they do not understand this process at all. That this water from a ground up ashes of a golden calf is somehow going to purify them from having come into contact with a dead body. That's completely incomprehensible. There's nothing about it that makes sense. However, the one who has carried out this process of preparation of the water of the red heifer may mistakenly think that they understand the process. They have performed the laws that Hashem has provided with them, and they are now the one somewhat in control of the process. That if they sprinkle X many of times, that person will now become tahor. That they may mistakenly think that they understand the mechanism behind it. And that is seen as a thought that impurifies a person. So the person who is coming in to be purified is able to be purified because they come in with this understanding that they are completely subservient to the will of Hashem in that moment, that Hashem has complete control and they cannot even begin to understand. The person, though, who is doing the sprinkling, perhaps can begin to think that they understand Hashem's ways, that they understand the mechanism that is making this work in the spiritual world. And therefore, for that thought, they become tamei, and they then have to become the person in the place of being purified. That they now need to refocus their frame of reference as being the one who recognizes that they completely do not understand. In the light of these two concepts, we understand why the rationale for the red heifer was concealed. This can be explained through a parable. When a king commands us to do a specific thing, no one would think to ask for his explanation. And what he wishes to accomplish through this. Rather, all of it would only be done through his speaking. If a king commands something, no one's going to ask why he did it, what he's thinking, what his rationale is. Kasher yomar ki huze kin yakum umi yemalei libo lada'at machshavot hamelech b'chol ha'inyanim. Whatever the king says, that is the way it is. And who would be so presumptuous to claim to know the king's thoughts on any given subject that no one would even dare to inquire or begin to think that they can comprehend what the king's rationale is. Ba'arach zeh, avodasinu b'limud ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvos, al-pi diburo shel ha-melech, ve'ein lanu rishus lavo l'malshevet ha-melech, rak hu amar v'tehi. When it comes to Torah and mitzvos, we must look at it like the decree of the king, that we have no permission to try to investigate into the rationale or the reasonings. Rather, that Hashem said, and therefore it should be. Al-kin, shelitzad b'china zo, amar aduni mori v'rabi morenu dovber, b'derach mashal, asher nikra dibor b'chinat malchus, ki kin hu hamura al-derach hamivoar, she'in mi sheyavo l'harher b'machsheves ha-melech, rak shuhu amar v'na'aseh ritzono, kimavoar la'ayla al-pi mashal. To that end, my teacher and master, Rav Dov Ber, who is the Magen Mimezrich, teaches us that the faculty of speech, so our ability to speak, is associated with the sphere of Malchus. Again, I do not know anything about the spheres. As explained, no one questions the speech of a king. And when the king makes a declaration and his will is carried out, it makes sense because no one would try to investigate further into the king's thoughts or ideas behind what they declared. When it comes to speech of a king, we all must trust and follow and not try to investigate. V'latzadze amar ha-payat l'taher t'me'im u'latameh t'horim ba'omer kadosh. And now we will take this back and try to understand the statement of the Paitan, again in the Piyutim for the Shabbos of Parshas Para, where it says, l'taher t'me'im u'latameh t'horim ba'omer kadosh, that he says in the Piyut that the Parah Aduma comes to be metaher those that were tame, to be metame those that were tahor, ba'omer kadosh, when they declare holy. Ratzal umar shebechinat ha-tahara kimavo'ar bechinat ha-tumah, bechinat ha-negi'a, ratzal umar k'nechtav l'mala mitad ba'omer kadosh. Ki kadosh milashon hefresh. V'hu nivdal miseichal ha'enoshi, she'in b'seichal ha'enoshi lahasigo rak al-pi ha'nechtav l'mala. So he says, when it comes to Tumah and Tahara, when the person who becomes Tameh is because of a negiyah, because there was a fault. And Ratzal Omar, mitzad be'omer kadosh, when we say, and they declare it holy, ki kadosh milashon hefresh. Because kadosh, holiness, is a language of separation. Vehu nivdal misichal ha'anoshi. And the person who is becoming tahor through this process was able to, through declaring kadosh, was able to become separate. That they were able to separate from the human intellect and the human desire to understand, because he recognized that through human intellect, he was never going to be able to understand. So what's happening in this process of the Tahor becoming Tame and the Tame becoming Tahor is that they declare holy, they declare a separation. That one who enters into this process of becoming Tahor needs to recognize that they do not have the capacity within their human intellect in order to understand Hashem's ways. So this idea of holy or separate is separating from our seichel ha'enoshi, our human understanding, and that's what allows the one who was previously tameh to become tahor, and the one who was previously tahor to become tameh because of the possible blurring of these lines, the possible blurring of the separation when he serves in this role as the mitaher. Vilatadza, Amar Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom, Amarti Achakameh V'hi Rechoka Mimeni. And based on this understanding, we can explain the words of Shlomo HaMelech that we began with, in which he says that even if I gained all of the knowledge, rechoka mimeni, it is still too far off for me to understand the Parah Aduma. Ratza lomar shebechinat hachachma hashayach lepara, hu inyan yedi'ah she'en moach ha'adam yachol lahasig et alahuto yisbarach shemo. What he meant to say is that the type of knowledge that is connected to the Parah Aduma is a completely different type of understanding. It's not a wisdom. It's not something that the more you learn, the more you will understand. Rather, that it is a recognition that the human mind cannot fully comprehend Hashem. And therefore, Shlomo says, it is very far off from me. Because this is the reason that he could not understand it. Achin ikara ino ella hura'a ki eifshar la'adam lahasig ka'amar delet machshava tefisa b'chaklal. Shlomo HaMelech is saying it's not just that I am not smart enough to understand it. He's saying the essence of Parah Aduma is that it's meant to remind us that as human beings we cannot understand. Ve'inyan zeh ba'atmo mora'alav ki hu mechaper al ma'aseh ha'igel ki ikar b'chinas ma'aseh ha'igel hu derech ve'yechazu elokim. This is why the Parah Aduma comes to directly contradict or comes to directly atone for the Ma'aseh Ha'igel. Because the Ma'aseh Ha'igel came about through this idea that we could understand what we needed to connect to Hashem. V'ta'uta ha'ita ha'ya l'hayotam sovrim ki ha'sigo et b'chinot yisparach shemo. And our mistake was in thinking that we understood Hashem. And this is why they made the eagle. They thought they understood what they needed to connect to Hashem. They needed this intermediary. They needed this eagle. And therefore, the Parah Aduma, which is this chok that teaches us that we cannot possibly comprehend the ways of Hashem, that is what directly atones for the sin of the Chet HaEgel. Shelitza zeh ne'emar ki paruahu milashon galoi. In this context of the Parah Aduma, the Torah states, in the context of the Chet HaEgel, the Torah states, and after the sin of the golden calf, Moshe saw that the people were exposed. And this can be read that the divine revelation at the giving of the Torah had been overexposed, meaning that more was revealed than was necessary. That perhaps at Matan Torah, the people began to think they could understand Hashem. And we know that whoever adds more on the necessary actually subtracts, that sometimes more is not more, more is less. This is what led them to Aaron to commit heresy. This is what led them to the Chet HaEgel, that Hashem was too accessible to them. Hashem was too overexposed to them. And this is why Hashem needed to tell them to prepare the Parah Aduma, which rectified their sin and realigned their thinking to remember that we cannot understand Hashem's ways. Ulatzad zeh amar chuka, v'be'er Rashi, mipnei shehasatan v'umot ha'olam monin et Yisrael lomar ma ta'am yeshba. And this also goes along with the explanation of the word chukah, as explained by Rashi, that Rashi says, Mipnei shehasatan ve'umot ha'olam monin et Yisrael. The Satan and the nations of the world come against the Jewish people and they say, Ma tam yeshba, what reason is there for this? Lefichach amar chukacha kakti ve'ein lecha reshut leharherba. Therefore, Hashem explicitly says, Chukacha kakti, I have created these chukim, v'reshut ein lecha leharherba. You cannot think of any reasoning behind it. Ratzalomar, Shezehu bechinat ha-chuka, v'zoti etzem galoi shel ta'am hadavar. This is the essence, bechinat ha-chuka, the essence of this rule. V'zotu etzem galoi shel ta'am davar, v'hu mitzad she'en l'charishel har-herba. He says this is the nature of the chok. It's not we have a chok and you cannot investigate into it. Rather, the idea that you cannot investigate into it is the idea of the chok. The chukim are meant to remind you that you cannot comprehend Hashem at all. V'zehu etzem hagaloi. This is the essence of the revealed explanation. Rakal pi dibros hamelach el chay olamim hanotin chayim lekol chay. This is also the distinction between a human king and between Hashem. That a human king, if we were to think and investigate, we possibly could come to an understanding. When it comes to Hashem, umizot nida mitzios Hashem yisparach al pi mitzios hanimtzaim v'ikar mehutona elam misachlinu. When it comes to Hashem, even if we were to investigate the reasons, we can come to recognize Hashem through His creations, but there is no way for us in our human minds to fully comprehend Hashem. If you investigated into the ways of a king, you would find an explanation that was understandable to you. You just wouldn't do it out of respect for the king. But when it comes to Hashem, we must, no matter how much you investigate, you will come to recognize that you can recognize Hashem's creations, but you cannot recognize Hashem's being, and you cannot comprehend it through your human mind. But you shouldn't come to begin to think that you can understand the ways of Hashem. V'zotu ikar avodasinu ba'amrinu melech yachid chay ha'olamim. We say that Hashem is the one that sustains all that is created, and He rains down His generous kindness on this world. Both through a way that is recognizable to us and a way that is completely imperceivable to us. Veshamati me'arav hachasin morinu harav Avram Chaim Neiro Yair, mikilas kodesh zelashav, al pirashi hanachtav l'mala. Mahu ha-satan ve'umos ha'olam? So he asked this question on the pasuk on the statement of Rashi that we just quoted, shehasatan ve'umos ha'olam, that the satan and the nations of the world will come to try to bother us for the explanations for these mitzvos. De be'emet kol megamat nafsho shel ha-satan ve'umos ha'olam mimso izu kitrug al b'nei Yisrael. The entire purpose of the Satan and the nations of the world is to find a place in which they can trip up the Jewish people in a way that they can go against, that they can blame the Jewish people. So why don't we just tell them we're given a reason? We can just say that it's to atone for the Chet HaEgel. Achin ritunam lish'ol Yisrael al davar ma'asa para. And he says, because that's exactly what the nations of the world and the Satan want to do. They are asking us specifically about Para Aduma, not because they think that there's no explanation, because they want to remember Ma'asa Ha'igal. They miskor Ma'asa Ha'igal yihyeh makom lekatrig. And they think that if they focus on this tremendous sin of the Jewish people, then there will be room to go against the Jewish people, to blame the Jewish people. And that's why Hashem specifically says, I've created a chok and you have no permission to investigate after it. So Hashem says, I want you to know that even though we can provide the explanation that the Para Aduma is meant to atone for the Chet HaEgel, the real reason is one that is much deeper. And that's why I consistently, Hashem speaking, why I consistently remind you that there is no explanation. is because on a very surface level, we can understand the Parah Aduma as something that is meant to be a direct atonement for Chet Yigal. In the same way that we can recognize when we have one apple in our hands, that we can make a bracha on it, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri Hayetz. We can recognize Hashem, we can perceive Hashem throughout his creations in this world. We can understand a small reason that provides meaning to a mitzvah. But what Hashem is reminding us through the Parah Aduma is that Chok Chakakti V'Rishus Ein Lachem L'Harher Achareha. That the entire purpose of the Parah Aduma is to recognize that we have no ability to understand the ways of Hashem. Not that we don't have permission, like a Melech Basar V'Adam. That if only we would investigate, we would understand. That he says, we do not have the ability to understand. And that is the point of the Parah Aduma. That the Parah Aduma is coming to remind us that Hashem's creations are everywhere in the world and we see Hashem through them. But we as human beings are not even able to begin to understand the entirety of Hashem's greatness. And that we must consistently remind ourselves of that, that sometimes we think we understand the limits, the point until which Hashem can help us, the point until which Hashem can create miracles in this world. But through the Parah Aduma, we are humbled to remind ourselves that we cannot even begin to comprehend the greatness of Hashem. And this to me is a comforting thought, that even though there are things that we do not understand in this world, that Hashem is behind all of it. And it is because Hashem is all behind all of it that we cannot even begin to understand. That there is just such a great presence of Hashem, and Hashem is just so beyond our comprehension that the world presents so confusing, but that dafka means that Hashem is there. That coming off of Purim, when we see the fact that Hashem is completely hidden in the Purim story, but we understand through what happens and through what's presented to us in this world that Hashem is there. But we think sometimes that it stops there on the neatly tied up bow of Megillas Esther, in which everything is v'nahafochu, everything is directly flipped over, and we think we understand. But the Parah Aduma comes right after Purim to remind us that it's not just when we see Hashem in the small little ways throughout the earth, rather that there is even so much more at play that is way beyond our comprehension. So much more than even the Nistar of Purim is moving into Parshas Parah and recognizing that Hashem is everywhere and everything in the world, even way, way beyond our comprehension. So Mirtz Hashem, may we be able to remind ourselves of this throughout the confusion that we see in the world, that Hashem is not only there, but that dafka, the confusion, reminds us of Hashem's presence, and we should feel him strongly with us, even without being able to comprehend.